Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
All right, we'll circle back to the Texans a little later on this hour. We're keeping an eye on the news wire here to see if there's any news on Nick Chubb. He's reportedly going to be in town today to take a physical. If he passes the physical, it's expected that he will be the newest Houston Texan running back. So we'll keep an eye on things. If that comes down during our show, we'll break it all down for you. Friday night, it was so weird. Amy and I are out on Friday night doing Friday night things, and my phone starts blowing up with this ruling that came down on the House versus NCAA settlement, which has been a settlement that's been negotiated for a while between a bunch of former athletes that have been suing the NCAA and the power conferences for compensation. And we know that the walls have come down the last few years on NIL and that athletes have been getting compensated, but not directly by the schools. They've been getting compensated by outside businesses or collectives of alumni that are associated with schools for what are supposed to be endorsement contracts for companies.
Right. I think in a lot of ways, if you take, I don't want to say the average fan or what have you, but like I think of the way it feels emotionally, whether you know all of the ins and outs of NIL or not. I think a lot of people, when you hear or see that the headline that now schools can directly pay the athletes,
yeah.
I think a lot of people probably feel, because even though like, I know that hasn't been the scenario, it just feels like, okay, they've pretty much been paying them anyway. But this does make it just that more. This is a main line now, right from the schools themselves to the players, to where they're paying them.
That's right.
And it is. It's notable, but it also feels almost more like they're legitimizing what was already happening.
Well, and here's the thing. Here's what you need to know about it. Okay, so here's this. This all came down on Friday, and what it essentially does, and this by and large applies to the four big power conferences and some other Division I schools, right? You got some big-time basketball schools that don't have Division I football, whatever. But for purposes of what we're talking about, let's focus on the Power Four, the SEC, the Big Ten, the ACC, and the Big 12. The state of Texas has multiple schools in a couple of those conferences. I don't know that any state is more affected by this than the state of Texas when you consider the recruiting hotbed that it is down here and the number of schools and the amount of money those schools, like Texas and Texas A&M, have their athletic departments are two of the biggest businesses in collegiate anything. You know,
there are a lot of offensive linemen getting paid $1 million a year to sign, supposedly to sign autographs at car washes.
Yeah, yes. Right. Yeah. For these guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's what you need to know about it is that the college athletic departments are going to essentially start being run like pro sports teams where they'll have a salary cap. And that number is going to get determined as a percentage of all the revenue they bring in, very similar to pro sports, right? The TV money coming in for the conference and things like that. the big thing is the schools have the choice as to whether or not they actually pay the players up to the first salary cap is expected to be about $20.5 million. And this is across all sports. This isn't just football, isn't just basketball. It's $20.5 million to pay whatever athletes you think should be the ones that get paid within your college or university. It's expected that most of the power conference schools are going to allocate 80 to 90% of it to football and basketball because those are the sports that generate revenue. And then there's 10% left over probably for like this the young lady who's been pitching her ass off for Texas Tech on for the softball team. She got $1 million from somebody and she's carried them, you know, that kind of thing. Most of this is football and men's basketball because that's where the money comes from. So let's start there, Seth. Each of these athletic departments has a salary cap of $20.5 million. And the big thing that I'm reading about is they've now got to find this $20.5 million because they haven't been budgeting for this every year. Like there could be non-revenue generating sports that get shut down at a lot of schools because they're a cost center, you know, whether it's, you know, golf or wrestling or soccer or volleyball or whatever the case may be. These schools are having to find the $20.5 million. Maybe it comes from donors. Maybe it comes from cost cutting moves. Whatever, maybe it comes from new revenue streams like charging student fees and things like that. But this is a new thing they're going to have to manage.
And now just this also does not keep the athletes from getting extra NIL deals on top of this, right?
Glad you asked that. Not only is NIL still available, but now they created a clearinghouse for NIL deals. So they're trying to, the schools now are trying to take control back of what constitutes a reasonable NIL deal. As part of this settlement, they created something called the College Sports Commission, which will oversee the validity of NIL deals made between athletes and outside entities like businesses, collectives that the schools have created, which are usually spearheaded by rich alumni. This clearinghouse is going to determine whether or not an NIL deal, anything over $600, you got to present to this clearinghouse run by Deloitte. And they determine whether or not that is market value for the services that are being asked about in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Boy, it feels like this has added some structure, yet at the same time,
dude, there's
still going to be the Wild West and trying to figure all of this out.
There's going to be so many lawsuits. The one thing I know that rich people don't like is being told what they can and can't spend their money on.
Can't spend money on, right. Yeah. So, like, Arch Manning is supposedly making about $6 million total in NIL, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, that'll be the guinea pig, I think, that we look at and see, okay, how does this affect Arch Manning's bottom line?
Well, here's
we wait for him to actually play any significant amount of college football. Yes.
I'm glad you brought up somebody who already has NIL deals in place. All those are grandfathered in.
Yeah.
They're grandfathered in. So this is what you saw. If you were following it closely, what you saw in college sports the last couple of months is these schools trying to get these massive NIL deals in, air quotes, before this commission gets created. Like anything that got created before this settlement doesn't go through the clearinghouse. So there were kids that were signing deals for huge bank the
millions
last month
dollars.
Or two. Millions of dollars because the schools knew that once this went into effect, that they were not going to get cleared on this. It's clear pay-for-play stuff. They're not doing commercials and whatnot like you're supposed to be doing for name, image, and likeness.
This is, I'll tell you what. And you might wonder, why would these big brands care about NIL as much as they do? I'm reading over Arch Manning's.
Yeah.
And he's got Panini. He's got Panini America. He's got EA Sports.
Yeah.
He's got Red Bull. He's got Uber. And I saw that, and immediately I wanted a Red Bull. I'm like, I'm looking at the picture. Oh, my God, I can't even control it. I'm like, I need a Red Bull. I haven't had one in like 3 years.
Arch Manning.
Ever since my blood pressure started getting a little too high.
Influencer.
Screw strokes. I ain't scared.
Influencer, man.
I had an arch in me drinking Red Bull.
Yeah. It's wild. Now, here's the other thing. They've also ruled in this settlement, or the two sides have agreed, the NCAA, the power conferences, and all these athletes, there will be back payments to players from the last decade or so. If you played a varsity sport since 2016, there is $2.8 billion sitting there where payments will be determined on some sort of formula. Obviously, you know, the quarterback of the football team is not going to get the same as the guy who ran the 110 meters on the track team. But there's $2.8 billion allocated to back pay athletes going all the way back to 2016. It sounds like a lot of money, but the thought is, the legal people out there think that if this had gone to court, if this had gone to trial, the NCAA would have been on the hook for upwards of $10 billion.
So, okay.
So them settling for $2.8 billion is a win for them.
So where does, as a college football fan,
yeah,
where does this hit you where it hurts, or where does it make you feel like, oh, okay, this'll rein things in a little bit, and this'll be good in the long term?
I think this depends on what school you root for, but I think there's a feeling that this has the potential to create even a bigger chasm between the haves and the have-nots. Because now you're talking about digging into the budgets of athletic departments to find this $20.5 million that a lot of schools feel like, man, we don't have this money, but let's say we're Iowa State. If we got to do this to keep up with, you know, whoever the best team in the Big 12 is right now, you know, then we got to do this and we got to find it somewhere. I think that's the big sentiment is this going to stop any of the wild, wild west going on in the NIL stuff? We'll see. There's going to be a ton of lawsuits. Lawyers are going to make bank on this. And does the salary cap system create a bigger gap between the big have schools and the, we'll call it have not school, have less schools. Yeah.
I guess there's a part of it too, where I wonder whether the bigger schools also are going to be able to manage their non-money generating sports more easily, to where ultimately the football, like the smaller schools or the quote unquote lesser schools might figure out a way to how to keep up at the same pace on football and basketball.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the non-revenue generating sports, that they might really suffer. You know, softball and baseball and all of those things.
Especially when you consider what realignment has done to the travel schedules for those schools.
Yeah.
That you've got baseball teams, and I mean, baseball at least I think generates some revenue. There's, you know, TV level interest in it this time of year at least, but like volleyball, golf, wrestling, you know, like all these other not, we'll call them Olympic sports, non-revenue generating sports, that the cost to send UCLA's volleyball team to go play a game at Rutgers, they're in the same conference.
Right.
So realignment, I think, is kind of the combination of realignment and this new world we're living in where the schools have to find $20 million to pay athletes really jeopardizes the sports.
I guess, that's where my gut feel on it is that I might, if I'm an Aggie, I might not be as nervous about the football program being hurt by this as I am about the baseball program or the softball program or anything else like that.
Yeah.
Or I guess they should be encouraged by that.
Yeah.
That they're going to be, they should,
they have enough money to fund
encouraged by it.
Yeah.
Right. But Vanderbilt, their non-revenue generating athletes and coaches probably be a little bit more nervous about all this.
Yeah. So it's just, I just think it's fascinating. I just think the melding of how this is now, like how there has been more change, Seth, in the last 4 or 5 years, I feel like, than there were in the previous 5 decades. When you think about the transfer portal, the existence of NIL, and now this ruling here on last Friday, where the schools are now, starting July 1st, schools can cut checks to athletes for their services. July 1st. It's wild, man.
I know that there is a part of it, too, where, okay, so it hasn't hurt in the TV ratings. If anything, it's actually juiced things up. And there's more intrigue. There's more storylines. There's so much. There's just so much drama with the transfer portal and everything else that's happened. It feels like one of those things that it might be good for business, but bad for your soul. I like go back to the Olympics, whenever they allowed professionals to start competing in the Olympics. All right, great. It's good for level of competition and everything, but it lost its luster in a lot of ways. And I know, but there was no way. I mean, like there was no way to avoid it at some given point because the Olympics don't feel the same as they did back in the day.
I agree with that. Someone says, you're way overthinking it. Boosters easily donate the $20 million to college sports programs. Here's the thing. They're donating for a lot of things. You're acting like, we just need another 20. This is another $20 million that you need to find. Well, this isn't reallocating money they're already sending. And not all, I would ask this person too, Seth, this texter, what school do you go to?
Because that's what I'm saying. I don't think it is a big deal for the big, it doesn't sound like it will be a big deal for the huge programs. I think it is a much bigger deal for the schools that are still trying to compete and can't. It's really hard for them to even scrounge up the $20 million for their own fund and then also take care of their or other money sports within
yes,
the athletic department.
No doubt. No, that's why I say, what school do you go to? Because if you go to Texas or Texas A&M, I could see you feeling that way. They seem to be able to find money for almost anything. I feel
yeah,
like
you're sitting there as a Longhorn, and basically you're like Lamar Jackson blowing off OTAs because
exactly.
Like, okay, it's $700,000. What the hell do I care? Not every player can just blow off OTAs.
Well, the other thing that we're seeing too, and I said this when NIL became a thing, is that yes, there will be this land rush for teams to pay these athletes, but then eventually there's going to be a body of work that needs to come with this. And there's a lot of these collectives. There's a lot of rich people that have been investing a lot of money in these NIL collectives at these schools that are looking around going, all right, let's take a look now at who we've given $500,000 to. Let's take a look at, I mean, they're giving it to high school athletes. The hit rate on that is ridiculously crazy and low. And so for a lot of these schools, the collectives are starting to dry up. There's a lot of rich, this I know about rich people. Yes, sure, they donate a lot of money to their schools. You know what they don't like to do? Waste money.
There are a lot of people out there that basically feel like a lot of alpaca investors felt back in the day. We're like, wait a second, I just bought an alpaca farm. You told me it was going to be the next greatest thing. Going to get rich off these alpacas.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, people are, you hardly see an alpaca
anymore. You don't see them much anymore. Yeah. Right. So I think for a lot of schools, it's not as simple as, well, just go find another $20 million from our donors, from our investors, we'll call them. There's a lot of them that are getting kind of disillusioned with the whole sports thing already right now, you know?
On the sum total of it, maybe I side with the texter a little bit more in that it feels like a lot of the same stuff just with a different name and a different structure. Rose by any other name or a turd by any other name would smell just as bad.
Yeah.
That's where it feels to me.
I think the key differentiator here is this is now a line item on a university's balance sheet. Whereas before all this money coming to athletes was these outside collectives and big fat cat people writing checks. There's going to be a trickle down at some schools that ends up affecting people within the school.
Where are we in our budget to pay some high profile college
at the station?
In NIL? Yeah, I think we should.
Or on the show.
We need a weekly segment with Arch Manning. Do we have the budget for that?
What did you say he's making?
I think it's $6 million in total.
$6 million? Okay. Well, so what do you think the $500 a week you and I can scrounge together?
I'm guessing they're going to pull some bogus corporate nonsense.
Probably.
Like, oh, it's going to have to come out of your salary.
Probably.
Like, hey, look, I'd love to, but I need to take care of the other sports radio hosts out there. I would love to take a pay cut, but I can't, okay?
No.
Because I owe it to the other sports radio hosts.
That's right.
To set the high bar.
Set the high bar. All right, so that's what went on Friday night. If you're a college sports fan, it's going to be fascinating to watch unfold over the next several months. Circling back to the Texans, we're keeping an eye out if there's been a Nick Chubb signing. When that happens, if and when it happens, we'll let you know. Nick Caserio is going to join us later in the week on Thursday this week. Where does Nick Caserio stack up among GMs in the NFL right now? One particular outlet, very bullish on the Texans GM, and we will discuss that coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we'll be having Nick Caserio on the show later this week. Last time before we get to training camp on Thursday this week. Texans practice tomorrow and Wednesday. So this is a big year. This is a big year for Nick, Seth, in that there's been a lot of fixing of very specific things that have gone on with this roster in the offseason. And it's been a bold strategy that they've been executing over there to fix this offensive line. I think if you told a lot of people around the league that one of the big things they're going to do to fix the offensive line is trade away their best offensive lineman without backfilling him with somebody who's of similar caliber, they would have said, well, that is a very, very bold strategy right there to do so.
Yeah.
And those aren't people that would be saying that who've been around the building like Nick has and like everybody has to know that maybe there needed to be a culture shift in the offensive line room. But still, if this works, it'll be one of those things that is a major green checkmark to the good for Nick Caserio. But it is a bold strategy, though.
It's a bold strategy in a weird way in which discretion and lack of aggression is the bold strategy. But it's risky. You know, usually we veer towards like, do something. And there was a way in which the Texans operated in the draft that I actually felt good about, in that I think when they tried to trade up into the top 10, reportedly, presumably, possibly to get, say, Kelvin Banks, the offensive tackle, whoever it might be, I don't like seeing people frame it as they failed to trade into the top 10, because they could have traded into the top 10. There is a price tag that they could have spent to get into the top 10.
Sure.
It's just, so it's always a matter of, all right, is your organization, you never want your organization to be at the point where they're saying, yep, whenever we want a guy, we're going to take whatever it takes, whatever it does, we're going to do whatever it does to get there. They did that with Will Anderson.
Yeah.
You can only do that so many times.
Yeah.
So there's times where you just got to pull back and not do it. They tried to trade back up into the first round after they traded out of it this year, and the price just wasn't right. So that's the part where I wish they had been able to land another big name or two on the offensive line. And yet at the same time, I have to try to be mature and say, like, all right, but you don't want to be overspending all the time.
Yep. This is an interesting article here on SportsNot, SportsNot.com. Matt Johnson has an article, Best General Managers 2025, ranking the 10 best NFL GMs right now. And I will give you where Nick is on this. They only list 10. It's top 10. He's 10th on this list. But I think what's interesting is all 9 GMs in front of him have at least been to a conference championship game as the general manager of their football team. Obviously, Nick has been to several as a member of the New England Patriots. Howie Roseman's number one. They're the defending Super Bowl champs. I think he's thought to be the best in the game today, Howie Roseman. Like, they are built to last in Philadelphia right now. Number two is Les Snead. He's won a Super Bowl with the Rams. Number three, Brad Holmes, the Lions, been to a conference title game. Number four, Eric DaCosta, Baltimore Ravens, took over for Ozzie Newsome, been to a conference title game. Brett Veach, Kansas City Chiefs. We know their track record. Number six, Brian Gutekunst, Green Bay Packers. Been to a conference championship.
Well, not as the GM, though.
Oh, yeah?
Because he took over in 2018. So it was Ted Thompson when...
They haven't been to one with Matt LaFleur as the head coach? A conference title game?
Conference championship game?
I thought they had been. But
oh, that's I'm... right. 2019. It was 2000. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yep. Good call. Good call.
Yep.
Shut up, Seth.
Okay. Right. Number seven.
I heard you.
Number seven.
Said it with your eyes.
Shanahan, John Lynch. Okay, it's a little disrespectful to John Lynch. John Lynch with Kyle Shanahan helping him go pee-pee is number seven. We know they've been to a couple of Super Bowls. Number eight is Brandon Bean of the Buffalo Bills. Been to the conference title game a couple of times now. Jason Light in Tampa Bay is number nine. He's won a Super Bowl. And then there's Nick Caserio at number 10, who is trying to get to a conference title game and further this year with the Houston Texans.
Yeah, that's and I think the big thing with Caserio, where I think he's 10th on this list behind all those guys for probably that biggest reason. Those guys have actually had demonstrated success getting into the Final Four.
And I think it's fair.
At the very least. Yeah, I think it's very, very fair. Yeah. There's not a chance in hell I'm going to bring this up to Caserio on Thursday when we talk to him. Because I know that there is not one part of them that is going to be excited about whether he was on this list. He's not going to be disgruntled with where he's ranked. So I probably will bring it up to him, actually, just for fun. I'm going to congratulate him.
Yes.
Okay.
Top 10.
Did you get to check off a box on your list of
right,
goals?
Was that on your list
the
of goals?
Sports Not named you a top 10?
Yeah.
I think fan sentiment would probably be split on this as to whether he's top 10 or not.
I agree.
Just because he hasn't been to a conference championship game. And what we started off talking about was the offensive line. And that's the one final really remaining thing, aside from team success, that Nick needs to prove is that, yeah, they can put a competent offensive line out there.
Yes. 'Cause
they really haven't had one. I think they don't mention it in this little blurb, but they do. The fact that when he took over, it was really, he walked into a situation that I don't think he realized existed when he took the job.
Yeah.
He knew about the salary cap issues. I don't think he knew about a bunch of the dysfunction in the organization. And that part of it that doesn't get reported and there's not a strict timeline, those first couple years, there was a lot of diciness and a lot of things that had to be corrected. And Nick made some mistakes during that time. But I think the pivot from where the Texans were as an organization when Deshaun Watson demanded a trade, which was immediately when at the same time Nick Caserio was hired.
Yes.
That's what he's getting credit for.
Yeah, I think so. I think what he got in that trade, I would challenge you to find a worse situation on paper. Forget about the dysfunction you're talking about, Seth, that's more interpersonal and human behind the scenes. Pretend that everything is just ice cream and puppy dogs behind the scenes with all the personalities and everything. He inherited on paper one of the, if not the worst situations that you could ever inherit as a general manager. He inherited a team that didn't have a first round or a second round pick in the upcoming draft. They had only picked in the first round once since 2018. A salary cap sheet that was a mess because Bill O'Brien gave out all these horrible contracts to people. And the biggest contract he gave was to Deshaun Watson, who, to your point, demanded a trade practically about the time Nick Caserio walked in the door there.
It felt like it was triggered by the fact that
he got
Jack Easterby was hiring his guy. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
that's what it felt like.
Right. So like when I look at Nick's body of work, that's like when there were people like in 2021 and 2022 saying to fire Nick Caserio, I'm like, this is a 2-year cleanup, man. Like this is like firing somebody who's cleaning up a nuclear, you know, like a nuclear disaster in the middle of while they're cleaning it up, you know?
The biggest mistake I think Caserio made, and again, this was done alongside Easterby and with Easterby's input, was hiring David Culley as the coach there.
Yeah.
Because I'm guessing they looked at Culley as an interim type of coach that was there as a bridge that perhaps he, you know, like that might only be there for a couple of years until we figure this situation out and we'll see what goes on.
Yep.
But they drastically undershot in that.
Yeah.
They had hired Lovie Smith
as
a bridge coach.
Yeah. Or as that would have been fine.
A bridge coach with upside.
Yep.
You know, like Lovie Smith, you could see where, okay, this guy's been in the league forever. He's got a good way with the players. He can instill discipline, all of that. And then maybe it works out. And there is also potential upside there. Lovie Smith was a smart hire.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that it was 1 year too late.
Yeah. Yep. I think the offensive line and that hire, I think, are fair. I think of the things that Nick has done that this organization wouldn't be where it is right now without doing. The Deshaun Watson trade for sure. The subsequent, you know, the first three picks of the 2023 draft where they drafted C.J. Stroud, and really the bold move was to move up and get Will Anderson. That's worked out. That 10 minutes has changed the complexion of this franchise. And then I think just the overall, with obviously working hand-in-hand with DeMeco, but he has built an elite defense, or potentially an elite defense. You know, they gave up a lot of big plays last year, maybe statistically not elite. I think this defense has the potential this season to be a top three or four defense in the NFL for sure.
Yeah, they really what they've done on defense, and then I think with special teams too, because special teams is kind of, you set it off to the side and you don't think about it. The fact that they won any games at all in 2021 and 2022 is partly because they were competent on special teams. They were competitive on special teams. And that's one thing that Caserio brought from New England that I'm happy about. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to debate anymore about whether they're trying to be New England South or anything like that. Some of the things that Nick brought with him from New England have been very, very good for the team. The special teams is chief amongst them, because they'd gone through a long period where, with Rick Smith and then I think with Bill O'Brien acting as the GM, it wasn't as much of a focus of concentration that O'Brien gained as it has been as of late.
Yep, it's a good point. 713.
That goes back to Andre Johnson when Andre Johnson says that he knew that 2013 might be a letdown year because of how many starters were playing on special teams.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was just, it's those little things on the margins that nobody really talks about.
Going back to the topic we had in the previous segment about the big ruling that's going to have colleges paying athletes directly, not NIL. NIL still exists, but paying them directly. Can the players now have agents to negotiate for them? They do. They do already. When will colleges start making these kids sign binding contracts to stay? That was one of the overriding themes coming out of all the articles over the weekend, Seth, about this ruling, was that this is probably all leading towards collective bargaining in a union for these athletes at some point.
Yeah, and that's what it's felt like. There's just been no structure to any of this to where it's felt like the Wild West. But now if you're recognizing that the student athletes are indeed actual employees, mm-hmm. then all the labor law stuff comes into it,
sure.
Which is far beyond my ability to explain to anybody because I don't completely understand it.
Yeah, exactly.
It gets complicated.
Yep,
yeah. You just figure that there'll probably be some kind of a CBA at some point, I would guess.
You would think, at least with the bigger schools. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. We'll circle back. We're waiting to hear if the Texans have signed Nick Chubb yet or where that's going. I would imagine we'll get news on that later today.
If they do it at 10:01, I'll tell you what.
Oh,
I am going to tear Caserio a new one, mm-hmm. Damn it.
As you should.
That's right.
As you should. Yeah. 10:01. Give us
He's
something.
He's going to do it. They're going to do it. Nick likes toying with us that way. He's going to do it at 10:01 a.m. and go,
What is that? What's the hockey, Ben? the Caserio? If you can't find it, don't worry about it. I know Ben's got 8 jillion hotkeys in there. All right, so we'll circle back to that top of the hour. This comes from a texter late last week. I said, that's an interesting question. The Texans and the Astros are in very similar situations right now in that they are the beneficiaries of being in arguably the worst divisions in their respective sports.
Well, what are you talking about?
Who's in a better divisional situation right now? The Houston Texans in the AFC South or the Houston Astros in the AL West? Which division overall is worse? We will discuss coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margo Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. The Astros, 2.5-game lead in the AL West. Fun to see Seattle kind of backsliding early this year. That's nice. And meanwhile, the Texans, 2-time division winners in the AFC South. I pulled this from the text line on Friday, Seth. I said, you know what? That's a good topic to kick around. Astros and Texans are in very similar situations right now where they are, I think they're both sitting sort of in the same tier of their respective sports. I don't think either is viewed as a favorite to win the championship, but I think they're both viewed, if they get into the playoffs, maybe as teams that you don't want to face, like they'd be difficult for a variety of reasons, that sort of thing.
I think, yeah, and yeah, I think if you look at the when you look at the AL wild card standings, You look at the Guardians a half game out, and the Astros are not even in the wild card conversation because they're division leader right now. It feels like a little bit of a disparity there. The Guardians are very similar to the Astros in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
In terms of just what's their overall competitiveness?
Right. So you got the Astros in the AL West, 2.5 games up on the Mariners, and then after that, it's three teams that are just not very good. It's the Rangers, who have been just a mess lately, and then the Angels and the Athletics are. You know, I know the Angels are hovering around 500. Mike Trout's healthy, whatever. It's not a good team. They're 30-34, and the Athletics, I mean, they're an orphan team playing in a minor league ballpark that's just not good at baseball right now. They're 26-41. That's a bad division that's going to keep the Astros in the conversation all year, even if the Astros falter. And I think similarly, the AFC South, you know, is not a lot of threats to the Texans there as well.
If you look at the Astros right now, with that record, they'd be fourth in the AL East and fourth in the AL Central.
Right.
Like, and it's not apples to oranges when it comes to football, obviously, but there is, that benefit of, man, all right, if you can just take care of business versus your division, then you're a playoff team, et cetera, et cetera. But how are you doing against, like with the Texans last year, how are you doing against the genuinely good teams? Are you passing the tests? And there are a lot of times last year where they fell drastically short against the Ravens or against the Vikings or what have you.
So which division, like of the two teams, which division do you feel less threatened by right now?
I feel I think the AFC South, I feel less threatened by.
You do?
The AL, I mean, for one, just because, like, obviously the quarterback has an outsized effect in the NFL. There's no position in baseball that's quite like the quarterback in football. And We don't even know who the Colts quarterback is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that Trevor Lawrence, Trevor Lawrence has a lot of potential receiving threats. One bona fide receiving threat, and then whatever Travis Hunter becomes.
Yeah.
But it's still all an unknown. Whereas with the AL West, we know that the Astros are not the golden era Astros, and we just quite also don't know what the Mariners are or what the Rangers are.
I take the AL West less seriously. I just don't take the Mariners seriously. After the way they choked away that lead last year, and the way they had a 10-game lead, they choked away by the All-Star break to the Astros. And so even when they were a few games in front of the Astros this year, I'm like, all right, well, this isn't a great version of the Astros, but I just feel like it's a matter of time. This Seattle team is just so they're just so toothless. And then the rest of the division is so bad. The Rangers falling off the map kind of since winning that World Series, that felt like the expectation. Okay, this is finally going to be a period of time for more than a year or two where the Astros and the Rangers are on that same level and they're battling it out for the division, and the Rangers just haven't held up their end of the bargain. I'm more concerned that maybe the Colts or the Jags get average QB play and can hang around with the Texans in a 17-game season. There's a lot more variance built into a 17-game season than there is 162 games.
Let me tell you something, Sean, that maybe hits you where you like to be tickled. So if we look at the World Series odds of winning the World Series this year, and this is where I'm going to tell you you're wrong. Yeah. You're wrong.
Okay.
And is that the Astros currently, at least according to FanDuel, are 7th favorite to win the World Series.
Are they really?
The Mariners are 8th.
Mariners are 8th, okay.
Yeah, and when you go to the Super Bowl odds, I think the Colts might be the next down in line after the Texans, but
yeah,
they're 20th or so.
This is totally based on just my personal feelings about the Mariners. I am not disregarding those odds. I get them. I understand where they come from. I understand the thought behind them. I feel differently about the Mariners than the odds makers do. I'm curious, who are the teams that are ahead of the Astros right now on that odds board? Do you have it in front of you still?
Yes. The Dodgers, the Yankees, the Tigers, the Mets, the Phillies, and the Cubs.
Okay. Oh, the Cubs. That kind of hurts a little bit.
Right over the Cubs, right ahead of now, the Cubs, listen.
Cubs are good this Cubs, year.
We win versus Cubs fans as long as the Cubs don't win the World Series.
Correct.
And Kyle Tucker signs elsewhere in free agency.
Yeah.
As great a year as Kyle Tucker is having, we can still, no matter what Kyle Tucker and Alex Bregman do, if those teams don't win the World Series, and we can feel pretty good about the Red Sox not winning, but if neither of those teams win the World Series and Bregman opts out or Kyle Tucker chooses to go elsewhere in free agency.
I would even tell you that if the Cubs are forced to pay Kyle Tucker to keep him, a 12-year, $600 million deal or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, when Vladimir Guerrero Jr. got his $500 million deal, the first name everybody brought up, I know they don't play the same position, but the first name everybody brought up was Kyle Tucker, because he's thought to be the next guy for disregard position, the next guy who's going to be getting $500 million. I don't think having to give a guy $500 million over 12 years is necessarily a win.
Yeah.
Long term, I think those are bad contracts.
Especially when you're on a team that is notorious for not wanting to pay a guy like Kyle Tucker.
Yeah,
right. That's the Astros obviously are notoriously not going to pay Kyle Tucker either, but they've done a better job of it. And so if you go to the AFC South and look at Super Bowl, so the Mariners are
the
one notch below the Astros when it comes to winning a World Series. If you go to the Super Bowl, Tennessee Titans 28th.
Yep.
Colts 25th.
Yeah.
Jacksonville Jaguars 24th.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That is a fair counter argument right there, my friend.
Texans are 12th.
They're 12th.
So there's just a huge gap between the expectations of the Texans compared to the rest of the division. Whereas with the Astros, there's just much more parity.
It is interesting, though, that the Texans are lower on the board than the Astros are, I think says a lot about the Astros' pedigree. The Texans were 6th this time last year. It was after they made the Diggs trade, and
I think there are a lot of people. I'm guessing that you know how to look this stuff up. I'm guessing the sharps who don't typically bet the futures anyway.
They don't bet right. That's what
if the sharps did bet the futures, I bet they'd be more bullish on the Texans.
They probably see value.
Right
they probably see value in the Texans. If they were forced. I'm proud of you, man. Like, that's like when you brought up the sharps right there, you're like, sharps actually probably wouldn't bet the futures. I'm like, that's exactly what I was going to say. That's so true.
Rangers are 12th favorite to win the World Series right now.
Okay.
And then I'm going to lose track and not be able to count if I scroll any further down.
The Angels and A's got to be way down the list.
So, yeah, I think the top of the division is just much more competitive right now than when you look at the AFC South.
I'm probably in the minority, I would guess, than when it comes to who's living in a better world, the Texans or the Astros, for sure. Text message, bad division or not, I believe the Astros have the third best record in the AL. How does that happen? I think this texter's right, Seth. I think the Astros have the third best record right now in the AL.
I don't think so, because I just said that they'd
I think you might have been wrong.
I was?
I think so. Me? Yeah, they're 30.
Old Sethers?
They're 36-29. Minnesota's 35 and 30.
Gosh.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
you're 100% right. I must have been looking at an old standing somehow.
Yeah.
I apologize to everybody.
That's okay.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's okay.
What an idiot.
Yeah,
I'm going to self-flagellate after I get off this show
here
today.
Don't do that.
I was egregiously wrong. I don't know why I didn't catch myself even as I was saying that.
I saw a text earlier about the third best record. I'm like,
you're 100% right.
I'll wait till the break to look it up. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No. Shut me down next time I do something that's stupid.
Okay. All right, Payne and Pendergast, into the 9 o'clock hour we go. All right, new name on the market at a position where I think the Texans should kick tires on this guy. They're certainly kicking tires on Nick Chubb, the latest on that. We've got that coming up next in the 9 o'clock hour. Stay there.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.